If you're an athlete, you know the greatest motivator of all is the fear of letting your teammates down. After all, a team is only as good as its weakest link. So you owe it to those wearing the same jersey as you to be your best every time you step on the field. That's why there's no vape in team. When you vape, you can expose your lungs to toxic chemicals that can damage your lungs. If you're a step behind, the team's a step behind. Brought to you by The Real Cost and the FDA.
Another visitor. Stay a while. Stay forever.
This is The Boop Show, episode 305. It's the 4th of October, 2021. Everybody, it's the Boop Show. I'm Scott Johnson with Brian Dunaway, here to talk about indie games and stuff like that. Dunaway's wearing his wig for Halloween. You're looking good, man.
Not a wig. How many times I got to tell you, it's not a wig.
Stop
hair shaming me, Scott.
Look, if people are here live, they could see this beautiful head of hair.
Stop perm shaming me.
It's pretty hot. For a second, I thought you really did get a perm, and you were just trying to like convince me.
It's a good color. It matches my natural hair color, so it looks right. It looks right, right?
It's a good look. I think it's okay.
And honestly, it's about the length of my hair, too, if I curled it. So it's just, you know.
Yeah.
It's like a demo.
Yeah, it's a demo. And Brian loves the demos.
I love the demos.
Big fan.
Demo hair.
We got a lot to talk about today. Are you going to play any scary games during the month? What's your plan there?
I am going to play some scary games during the month. I was trying to figure that out.
Yeah,
okay, I plugged in my my RetroPie.
Yeah.
And I had my little Genesis pulled up there, my Genesis system. I'm taking a nice little leisurely stroll through the old Sega Genesis era games. Mm-hmm. And there was a game in there called Splatterhouse.
Yeah, I remember that.
Splatterhouse 3, the best of all of them. Yeah.
Three
was the best.
Oh, yeah, I remember this. This was a previous game.
A horror beat-em-up.
I want to say the first game was a Nintendo, an NES game, right? And by the time I got to the third one, it was like the 16-bit one. Rated M.
And they had, and there was no way they could run that, so they had to get it on blast processing. So they took it over to Sega.
Yeah, MA-13.
MA-13. Yeah. I have to use all three buttons.
I think that was before they'd settled on the actual new rating system, because this was the council. Video game ratings council, and that was Sega had their own thing called the Video Game Rating Council. This is before the big industry-wide one took over, whatever the hell that is called, because I can't think of it right now. Not Peggy, but the other one. Anyway.
Peggy's other side. Yeah, that's over the pond.
Peggy 18. Anyway, yeah, I agree. You should play Splatterhouse 3.
On my three-button controller, which I can pull up high enough.
I think you should do it. Here, chat, you can see.
But seriously, we have a nice little discussion going over on the Reddit. So if you go to boopshow.reddit.com, we're talking about just about that. What are you going to play? I've seen some people suggest a couple of great games, some Resident Evil games, which Scott has played, and some suggestions to go back to finishing up Little Nightmares. I got to finish that up.
Oh, yeah.
And so there's been a couple of things suggested, but I do like my games to have a theme. And how can you not play horror games during Halloween, even though it seems like there's always a horror game? Phasmophobia has been out for how many months now? Perfect Halloween game. But
do you have that? Because we can play that together.
Yeah.
You want to do that?
Oh, we should totally play that together.
Okay. Yeah, we'll get I know a couple more folks in the, like, we could get Alex and Travis.
Alex loves to play it.
Yeah.
Alex is always trying to get me to play.
Yeah, Travis is good in there too. We'll get the four of us. And hell will be.
And they got
paid.
Which is a perfect time, because they have. I think they've added some new single player content, so I can practice up a little bit, so I don't make a fool of myself.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I look forward to that. Will you wear the wig the whole time, or what's the plan there?
Absolutely, I'm gonna wear the wig the whole time. I have to. What choice would I have? I'm gonna turn all the lights out. It's gonna be very dark and scary.
Chat says you should play one of the Silent Hill games, but which one?
Yes.
Because the old one is, it scared the shit out of me on the PlayStation 1 way back in the day, but I have to think that doesn't hold up so well now. So which one, guys? Which one do you suggest that Brian play and scare himself? Two or three?
You name it, and I'll play it. Two or three, says Free Rangers.
Okay. All right.
Well, which is it?
Oh, we could play Dead by Daylight. That's a good idea.
Oh, that's a good one too.
Oh, there's ideas.
And I always play that. Isn't it only still have the Game Pass version of the Jason? Oh.
Do they have? Game Pass has one of those games.
That's what I was thinking. I think that's the one they have.
Let me go look real quick. I can't remember which they have. I own it on Steam, but if it's on Game Pass, even better. Everybody can get to it.
And Hondo makes a very good point. The Choo Choo Charlie. If you haven't seen the Choo Choo Charlie trailer, oh my God.
Hold on. What is that?
It's intense.
Tell me what this is.
You haven't seen the Choo Choo Charlie trailer? No. Okay, let me hold on a second.
Describe to me.
What do you think about Thomas the Tank Engine? What do you think about that guy?
He's a freaky little dude, and he's always getting the job done, that guy.
Is he, though?
I don't know. Is he not? I don't know. Oh, here it is. Dead by Daylight. Hold on. Dead by Daylight. Xbox Game Pass. Hold on.
That's Dead by Daylight. No, I'm talking about the actual Friday the 13th game.
But that wasn't as good, though, right? It was kind of dumb.
It's okay.
Okay, Game Pass does have Dead by Daylight in case we need to play it somewhere like that. Right. If we decide we want to play that Jason, what's it called?
Friday the 13th, man.
13th, the game.
Man.
That game is currently slowly coming up. Not on Game Pass. $14.99. Oh. I don't know if it's that good. People love Dead
channel,
by Daylight.
I put up a Choo Choo Charlie. You can the official trailer there. I think you need. This is the perfect way to kick off the spooky season, is to play that trailer real quick.
Is that going to have some audio in it I can play in here?
Yeah, absolutely. It's not like I don't think it's any copyrighted stuff. I think it's just a game trailer.
Okay, and this isn't just a mod, because sometimes they'll do like a Resident Evil mod with Thomas the Tank Engine.
That's a good question. I haven't dug that deep. Right. I just knew I saw the trailer and said, that looks amazing.
Well, let's play it for the chat and us. Okay, a guy running through the forest. There's a train, like a spider, more like. Okay, all right, we're in there. Good deal. Turn that on.
It's like George Carlin's face in the front of Thomas the Tank Engine's spider body.
Oh, I don't like it. This looks, actually, it's a very pretty looking game. Is this really a game?
I haven't dug deep.
It looks nice. Like, graphically nice.
If it's not
nice.
A game, they fooled me, but that's fine. I want to be fooled. Right, this time of the year, I don't ask questions. I just watch things and take them at face value.
Yeah. Dirty Countryman. All right, I don't know. I can't tell if I take this seriously or not. Maybe. Is it real?
Maybe.
I want it to be real. I want that to be real.
Like I said, man, so like for the rest of the year, I usually park my brain.
Yeah.
And I just allow anything to be truth.
Okay.
Right?
Okay.
As far as video games go.
Yeah. Everything else, forget it.
Yeah.
Assume it to be not true. But video games,
I think. Assume it to be false. But whenever it comes to video games from here to Christmas, it's a magical time for me. And I'm just going to choose to believe like a child.
That's good. To get back into your 10-year-old self, man.
That's right.
Appropriately, I mean. You know what I mean. You know what I mean. All right, it's time.
You know what I mean,
Herbert. It's time, everybody, for this. Oh, that's really quiet. Let's try that again, Scott, like you've never made a show before. All right, that means we got a little bit of news about some indie games that are either coming out or are out, and you should be paying attention. For example, Fist, Forged in Shadow Torch.
Before you get started, can I just say one thing?
Yeah, go.
When you name your title of your game, Fist, which is an acronym, you don't have to put the words after it. You know what I mean?
I kind of agree.
It's like, Fist, and then here's the name.
Unless they have some like crazy desire to like make sure we understand
the concepts. Then just call it Forest in the Shadow Torch. You don't have to call it Fist. We'll make the name up. We'll get the acronym later.
Looks like some animal business.
It looks hilarious.
It looks kind of interesting. I mean, graphically, I think it looks actually really nice, but
it makes me think it's the Unreal Engine. Do you think it's the latest Unreal Engine?
It probably is. Everything is, aren't they now? They're all that.
Yeah. It's got this cyberpunk look. It's not really cyberpunk. Maybe, what do you think there? It's Dirty City.
Dirty City, a little bit of, I mean, that guy's got a backpack. That rabbit's got a backpack that looks like it's capable of some like, you know, steampunk cyberpunk bullshit.
Right.
Yeah. Probably runs on, you know, his own poo or something. That's the power he uses. Looks like got a
and you know how rabbits poo? They have little tight little dry pellets. So that'd be the perfect power supply right there.
Yeah, why not? Endless too. They go all the time. Says 6 years ago, the Machine Legion invaded and colonized Tort City, which was originally inhabited by animals. Rayton, the former soldier in the Resistance War, has been living in seclusion since, after his friend is forcibly arrested. Rayton reclaims his mechanical fist and steps into his journey back, fighting back, rather. And he never expects that he has been involved in a bigger scheme between the Mafia, the Rebellion, and the Legion.
Have I ever told you about my love for a couple of things?
What's
I always like role-playing as rodents and as extension, rabbits.
Sure.
Anytime I get a chance to play as a rabbit or a rodent, I'm in.
Okay,
I'm
give me your favorite rabbit. Play as a rabbit game. Go.
Play as a rabbit. Oh, it's got to be the Pooh Bear game I played when my kids were little. No, I'm just kidding. I'm having trouble thinking of one right now.
I can't think of one either.
Game? I mean, it used to be like Bucky O'Hare all those little takeoff games and stuff. What was it called? Bucky O'Hare? I can't remember what it's called. Is it called Bucky O'Hare?
Oh, then you just gave it to me. You reminded me. PlayStation 1, Jumpin' Flash. Was that it?
Jumpin' Flash.
Because Jumpin' Jack Flash is a song.
Jumpin' Jack Flash. That sounds right.
That game is great. Oh, it's Bubsy. So much fun.
Yes, Tally. That's also a good one. Chat room is winning today. Baylil comes out with Biomutant. Of course, Biomutant.
Biomutant's great. Here's really the thing, man. If you guys, if Sony, you know, I've been slow to even worry about trying to find a PlayStation 5. I'm not in that big a hurry to get it.
Right.
Because they're hard to get anyway. So it's like, why am I worked up? Sony, you want to get me on like freak out mode to get one? Tell me you're making a new Jumpin' Flash game and tell me it's going to be rad and show me some cool shots and how awesome and huge it is. Make it a big open world kind of affair. Dude, I will play the shit out of a Jumpin' Flash game.
I'm needing some serious escapism. If somebody can bring me something that makes me forget that I'm a human on the planet Earth, that'd be great. I appreciate it.
Planet Earth? Is that the one?
Planet Earth.
Got it.
And you know what?
Yeah.
I'm going to say it. I think I said it last time too, and I'll say it again. Even though PlayStation could choose to be a dick and kind of start pulling back support for PS4, they just haven't. They've kept their foot on the gas pedal. I think they got games that were intended probably just for the PS5, but they're retooling them and getting them out on the PS4. Every time I see it,
sometimes
I'm always impressed with their longevity.
My problem, where it ruins the impressing, because I also like that, but what ruins it is when they are suddenly charging people who already own the game to buy the new one. I don't like that at all. I think
they don't like that either.
Yeah, they should stop
doing
that.
That's a dick move.
That is a dick move. And they've been, you know, a little guilty of that. But yeah, make it so we can play these new things. But yeah, Jumpin' Flash, dude. Oh, I know I'm coated in a thick layer of like nostalgia sauce, right? I understand. It's not as good as I remember it. But as your rabbit games go, man, that game was good.
Yes.
All right. Well, that's all well and good. We should talk
about it. But we have more games.
Yeah, we have more games. I forgot to mention this one. Rainbow Billy, the Curse of the Leviathan. Now that's the weird creature under the sea from the movie in the 90s, right? That's the Leviathan we're worrying about here. No,
The Leviathan, not Rainbow Billy. He's not the guy that's underneath the sea. You're talking about the Leviathan. I got you.
Leviathan. See, well, it says Rainbow Billy, the Curse of the Leviathan. So I don't know what that means, but anyway, heroes come in all colors. Says this description. Rainbow Billy, the Curse of the Leviathan, is a wholesome creature capture 2.5D adventure puzzle platformer. Yeah.
I am excited about this one.
I'm sorry. With RPG elements, it says at the end of that long description.
Don't tag that onto the end of your game.
Yeah.
Is it any game really an RPG?
At the end of the day, it is. These days, everything's got RPG elements. All of them. Everything.
Right.
Name something that doesn't, and I'll eat my hat. Like, no, there's no such thing as a modern fighting game, sports game, racing game. Anything, shooter, whatever, all of them have.
It's important RPG for immersion, elements. Right? That's what you need.
I just think that's just where games are now. You level up and you get better shit. That's basically it.
You got to do it. I love the art style in this game. I love all of it's like they took a stroll through a century's worth of animation style, starting out from the 1920s all the way up to Nickelodeon era and even into more modern stuff like Adventure Time. So I feel like this art kind of like spans that whole area. And I'm just in a wholesome gaming right now.
Everybody is. There's a real resurgence right now. It's a big deal.
There is.
I wonder what that means. I don't know. Why is Ted Lasso?
Tired of the bullshit.
It's like, why is Ted Lasso so popular? Because people hunger for some
wholesomeness,
some genuineness, some kindness, some decency, you know? All right, let's talk about
Leviathan.
By the way, that's coming to everything for $30.
Everything.
Jet the Far Shore, coming October 5th. That would be tomorrow. This is on the Epic Store for 20% off. You can also get it on PS4 and PS5 for $39. It's only $23.99 on the Epic Store.
Yeah, way cheaper. Until tomorrow afternoon, I think around 4 p.m. Eastern time, is going to be from $30, going to be down to $24 in the Epic Game Store, which is way cheaper than the PS4 or PS5, which is at $40.
Yeah.
40.
I like the look of this thing. It says, embark on an extraordinary... I'm sorry, exploratory, not extraordinary. I'm sure it's extraordinary. Single-player adventure-based adventure presented in five captivating acts, encompassing monumental moments, laid-back exploration, occasional white-knuckle action, moments of heartfelt companionship, and a helping of existential dread.
Ooh. Oh, I haven't had any white-knuckle action in a while.
It's been a bit. It's been a bit.
My knuckles are all flushed. They're all flushed and red.
I like the look of this. What are we looking at here?
It looks great, and it looks so spacey, and it's like I love. It looks like it. It would does really benefit from higher frames per second. The FPS looks sexy.
I think I may have to look. Into sure, that looks like.
Yeah, I've got to go with the Epic Game Store though. I mean, I got my PS4 Pro, can handle it like a pro, but it almost twice the price if I'm buying this on sale on the Epic Store today. My God.
Get it there.
Not even a question.
Yeah, I got a nice video card. I'll play it there. I don't mind the Epic Store these days. I think it's fine. It's fine.
It is what it is. It doesn't bother me.
You know what I like about it?
Be
every day, every other
angry.
Day, I get a bunch of free games, and I don't maybe even play them. But it's just there, and it's fine. I am playing a couple games on there. I'm playing that HD remake of what is it? I can't think of the
Castlevania?
Name. Purple Saints 3. What's it called?
Purpley
Saints Row 3.
Oh, Saints Row?
Saints Row 3, yeah. Or the third.
Yeah.
Been playing the that third. Again because why not? It was free and I loved that game originally and now it's HDified and why not? So I'm playing that. And then once in a while a little gem will drop over there that I really like. Sometimes a game I can only get there will drop. There's like a platformer that everyone's flipping out about that's on that and PlayStation 5 only and I don't know what it's called. Forgot the name. But that looks really cool and I can play it there if I want. I think it's fine.
It's fine. Now, okay, so I understand it. Some people are like, I don't want to deal with more than one store. I get you. I feel you. Whatever. But when you have a lot of games like me and Scott and you're jumping different platforms, everything, personally, I use good old games Galaxy 2, which works really well. We've talked about other ones too, like Play Night. Those are all just game library management that lets you launch and look and search and check to see if you have it anywhere because ain't nothing worse than going to Steam and purchasing a $30 game just to find out Game Pass has it. What?
Yeah, already bought it on freaking something else and you forgot you did. That's happened to me before.
First world recently. Gamer problems, Scott.
First, it's that rough. Actually happened to me recently. I had a game on Steam that I forgot I had and I've had it for a year. And I saw it was on sale for like a quick flash sale on the Epic Store for like $4. I'm like, I think that's a game I meant to play. I'm going to grab that. Grabbed it and went, wait a minute. Why is this so familiar? And I'm playing through it. Went and checked. Yeah, I already have it. I already have the damn game. Yeah. Now, it wasn't a big loss, but it was a nice lesson, okay? Did we learn from our lesson? I sure hope we did. All right. Moving on. We got this this Night Revere.
Reverie.
Reverie. I don't like the name.
He's not riding his horse. It's not Night Paul Revere. It's Reverie.
Yeah, it's Reverie. Right. This is a game. It's a puzzle action adventure game. In which a child must solve the mysteries behind the distortion of his house. Oh, my Lord.
Yes. I love it. This has got some of the best looking just colors and it's pixel graphics. And I downloaded the prologue earlier this year. I really enjoyed what I played here. A little adventure game puzzle, environmental puzzles. Go from this area to the house to pick up something. Go to that area to the house, pick up something. Talk to rabbits. You know how I feel about rabbits. I've already talked about it one time. And this is a really cute, beautiful game
for
$10 on Steam.
Yeah, the look is nice. Although I can't tell. Is it always in this like portrait mode? It's weird.
No, it's not always in that portrait mode. I don't understand what's going on there. I think is there a mobile version possibly that the trailer's from? I'm not sure.
Maybe. Oh, there's widescreen. Yeah, I don't know.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe just parts of it is. No, everything I played was always in widescreen, so I don't know.
Well, that's coming, let's see, did I give a date? October 8th? Yep, the 8th, $10 on Steam. Save your money, save your pennies.
And it's also, if you do a deep dive on Night Revere,
Reverie,
is supposed to be coming to Switch, but I've kind of seen that pulled. I'm kind of interested what happened with either the publisher, Indie Nova, or Somber Pixel, the developer. I'm kind of curious what happened there. So if anybody knows any words about that, let me know. Because this looks like a perfect Switch game.
Some juicy drama or what? What do you want out of that? You want some like behind the scenes?
I don't know. Just more info. I need info.
Yeah, everyone needs a little info now and again.
Right. Otherwise, I'm going to make my own.
Yeah. That's what I always say.
Yeah. Make it your own.
Here's another thing I always say. Games we played. A reminder that this show is just one third of the Frog Pants Plays triumvirate of show games, game shows rather, show games.
Show games.
Which you
can
find
down to show games.
You can find them at frogpantsplays.com. Yeah, a kid can always be a kid here. So go check them out. They're great. Core handles all sorts of big industry stuff. And if you're looking for big issues covered in meaningful ways, check out The Instance on Fridays. All of it right there and available at frogpantsplays.com. All right, Brian, I'm going to tell you about a game that I played.
Tell me about a game that you played.
And really liked.
Oh, so you play Potion Craft. Sweet.
I was worried that I did. I played Potion Craft. And we'll talk about that, too, because we both played Potion Craft. You're going to give it a little more of the extensive look today. No. But I definitely have some questions for you because I think I'm doing something wrong in Potion Craft. We'll get to that. Anyway, the game I played, it's called Origami 2. Think origami, but R, like origami.
R, like a pirate origami.
Yar, Magami. Origami 1 was a game that was a little small indie thing that was out on, I don't remember what all platforms, for sure on PCs, because I played it there back in the day. And it was cool because it looked like it was a tribute or a kind of a throwback to these old Tenchu stealth ninja games. Where you know,
which is exactly what it is, right? I mean,
kind of. They had their own weird little take on a couple of things with the first game. This one is way more my jam than the first game. The first game, okay. And herein lies the controversy, because there's actually currently a bit of a backlash from fans of the first game who don't like the new direction. And I'll tell you what the new direction is. The other one was much more linear. You were kind of part of a story. You were making your way through it. And it was interesting, and it involved these mechanics of stealth and, you know, stab a guy behind from behind and, you know, hide in the weeds after.
There was a family thread through the center of it that was like revenge and stuff, right?
Yeah, a bunch of that. And story, you know, story, whatever. This game, I don't think the story is anything to write home about. But the game is very good at, like, I want to sneak up and shank a guy. Like if you're into that stuff, this game.
If you're into sneak and shank,
yeah. If you're sneaking, if you like a good sneak and shank, this game will really solve that problem. But they went with a very different format this time. It's there's basically a hub world or a hub town, and in the hub town you take missions.
I don't like that.
I love it. This is not a complaint from me. You may not like it, but
I love the first one, by the way.
You have a hub town, and in the hub town, it's full of, you know, NPCs and a place to upgrade your gear and another guy or the dude that upgrades your skills and all of this. And it's all laid out in this place.
That's so anti-ninja.
Boo. No, this is where the ninja goes when he's not being a ninja. And they're all ninjas there. This isn't like a normal town.
You're either ninja all the time or not ninja at all.
That's what I'm
saying.
There's no
part-time ninja.
No, these guys, listen, everybody in that town, they're like you in that they're some kind of weird mystical ninja business. That's their whole thing. And so
it's a town you can't find. So it's kind of like Hogwarts or something.
Yeah.
It's in plain view. Okay. Well, that's a little different. Okay.
Yeah,
so it's
definitely
town.
That. It's a magical sort of special place for the ninja inclined.
All right. Good, good, good.
So, and it's not, it's a fantasy world with magic and junk. So it's not like true ninja, like, hey, we're doing like feudal Japan here or whatever. But it definitely has that look. Here he is now. He's running around the town. And it's like, you know, imagine a hub space in any other game where you're
don't like it.
You'll like it fine. You go talk to a dude, he gives you a quest, or not a quest. You further the story, you do whatever they need you to do. You go down to the mission board, they give you a mission, you port to that mission, and then you do that mission. And that mission might be you need to take out all 8 of these bad guys, or you need to find the hidden stash and bring it back to us, or you need to free this lady and carry your body back. It's a lot of the same stuff you did in Origami 1. You're just doing
it. Yeah, but you were doing it. You were doing it for yourself and for honor, man.
Well, you're still doing it for those things. It's still that.
No, you're not. You're quest givers. It's like some kind of ninja cabal or something. I don't like this new world order of.
Yeah, I mean, ninja look, town. You sound like some of the people who are like, oh, right. this is a weird new direction. I gameplay wise, I think this is 100% better than the first game.
It looks better. It looks
funner.
It looks more fun.
It's structured better. I feel like it's got kind of a nice little, I got to get in and do this mission and get out and do the next one. Or else if I don't have time, I can come back later and do another mission. Like, just got a good, I don't know, good flow to it.
I like that outfit.
Yeah, there's cool outfits.
It looks good, too. It looks good. And I feel like, we don't talk about this a lot sometimes, but proportion-wise, it seems like the character is larger on the screen. So it's third person.
Yeah.
And I actually like that. It felt a little like the characters were a little bit misproportioned in the first one. And this looks much better.
Yeah, yeah. It's a tighter presentation. They did a really good job with it. And I'm, you know, getting really good frame rate. I prefer it on the console, although it's fine on PC. The reason, well, if I had a complaint, one of my dings is that the game doesn't support cross saves, which doesn't make any sense to me, even though, well, there's like three other indies that came out the same day as this does, and they all have cross save. Yeah. On Game Pass. Yeah. This does not.
Is Origami 2 on Game Pass, and you've been playing it on the Xbox Series X.
I've been playing it on the Series X, yeah. I played it on the PC as well, but it's a separate save. And
you got a 3080? What you got in there?
Yeah, 3080. But it looks this identical. It's not doing anything special on the PC side. And I like being on my butt on the couch when I can, so that's what I'm doing with this game. I think it's just got really nice, smooth, intuitive gameplay. I like sneaking around, jumping around, hiding in the bushes, having a guy creep over there wondering what the sound was, yank him in there and shank him in the neck, move on to the next guy, you know, cool Asian theme music.
Do you remember how much I hated Uncharted when it first came out? Do you remember?
Yes, you hated Uncharted.
Do you have any recollection of that? I was like, I don't like this game. It's stupid, quick time movie in tweens and friggin'. It's like it's all that stealth. I don't care for it. Man, I've come a long way because this looks like fun.
Yeah, it is fun. I really like this game.
Yeah.
So I'm going to recommend it, even though you're going to go whatever store you go to, Steam, whatever. People are going to be going, it's too much of a departure from the first game. Whatever. Everything's a departure from everything. Who cares?
I would hope so, because what's the point of having a two if you're not gonna depart? You know.
Well,
I mean,
in my case, it's just I want to stealth around as a ninja man. Guess what? This game's really good at letting me stealth around as a ninja man. So that's what I do. By the way, you don't have to kill guys. You can put them to sleep, which is sometimes
put them into nap mode.
Yeah, put them into a nap. And sometimes that's a good idea because if you kill them, like the guy he just put to sleep on that tower in the video that the live chat's watching, he would have fallen off there and woke up like four
trouble.
Ninjas,
yeah. Right?
So it would have been bad. And I just love the puzzle that is a stealth game. I love going,
right,
if I kill him while he's walking this way, he won't be seen by these three dudes.
Yes.
But will they hear him? Oh, maybe. But I have this ability to pull him over, so maybe that'll run. Like, I love working that stuff out.
Yeah, that is fun. That's all the fun. And this game is, if I remember correctly, there's a lot of vertical environmental things you have to jump onto. And this is a ninja. This guy can climb up walls and jump up really high.
Yes and no. Like, it's actually less reliant on it this time because of the first game. You probably don't remember this, but you couldn't jump in the first game. There was no jump.
Oh, it was terrible. I mean, it did the thing that I hate in some platformers, which is that you're always having to do your best jump every time you jump. I'm like, I don't want to have to do my best jump every time.
Yeah. And this game didn't even have a jump in that game. It was just like that teleport thing, and that was it.
Oh, that's right. You're right. It wasn't jumps at all. It was that mystical teleport thing.
Yeah,
which
this still has, but it also has a jump. So it's got, you know, both things now. It just plays a lot better in my opinion. As a result, I feel like I have more control. The guy that's playing in this video is way too roof happy. He loves the roofs. I don't play that way. I'm pretty close to the ground most of the time. I get up.
I'm a roof guy.
Well, if you're a roof guy, they definitely let you do a lot of roofie business if you want. If you want to do roofie business, that doesn't sound right.
I'm always up in the roofs, man. It's like, what's he doing up there? I'm checking out your tiles. It's good up here.
It's also good to kind of get a lay of the land. It's like, well, what do I have to do? I got to attack these three dudes. And if I'm going to do that, I can make this choice. And you can make those choices a little better if you have some aerial view of things. Oh, kill that guy. Get that guy. Sorry.
Get him.
Pretending like this video.
Oh, my God. He's always going to turn around. Get him out. Get him.
He's
put him to sleep. So, there's another guy looking, though.
This guy's putting everyone to sleep, and I don't know why. There's different achievements for not killing anyone, things like that. I like stabbing them.
Right.
Because it's just fun, and blood goes everywhere.
I like a lethal kill.
Yeah, I like nice lethal kill. Why let your enemies live when you know you can take them out? Lots of upgrades, skill tree stuff. I don't know. It scratches a very specific itch I have for games like this. And I also like throwing the bodies off roofs or into rivers. That's really fun.
Oh, that is fun.
And they leave these little fart lines that they leave. That just tells you.
I see that. So, yeah.
So you know where they
went. It's kind of like the Donnie Darko center mass line.
Kind of. And it tells you squiggly. Kind of tells you where they're going and where they're headed. And, you know.
So are those stink lines that like ninjas, super smelly stink lines?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
You know, every ninja has a stink line. You just have to know how to see it or find it. Anyway, I really like it. $34.99 on everything else. It's a free on Game Pass, so no reason not to grab it there. I recommend controller, but on PC, keyboard and mouse are fine. But, you know, I think the controller is just kind of a better experience. What else? It's totally my jam. You know, killing dudes is amazing. I like doing that in fake life. I don't like doing it in real life. I like it in fake life.
No. It's a lot of work killing somebody in real life.
It is. And there's a lot of consequences, you know, like
there's consequences. I mean, here you just like press a couple of buttons and boom, guy's dead.
The consequences here are that somebody might find the body and come after me. That's the consequence.
Right. Actually, not even that much. You can just hit the pause button and go, I'm done playing for today.
Yeah. I can give the killing up. I don't have to go to a cell. I don't have to talk to a good cop, bad cop scenario. None of that.
Nope.
Works out pretty good. Here are my pros. Graphically, a big improvement from the first game. It's not perfect, but pretty good. Great stealth gameplay and mechanics. Simple jump in, jump out kind of structure to the way the thing plays, which I am super into. Some nice cosmetic options. You can kind of make yourself look like you want to. As far as cons go, a little unpolished in the animation and art front. And just some ways there might be a little floatiness, or the way you toss a guy might be weird physics or just different stuff like that. It may be just a little on the not polished end of the spectrum, but still pretty good.
Yeah.
It's not like you're going to mistake this for, you know, a giant first party AAA game. You'll know this is a smaller indie.
You're listening to the Boop Show. We cover indie games.
Yeah.
That's Origami 2.
That's right. The story's a little typical, nothing really jumping out. There's some Euro jank in it. This is made by a European team, and by Euro jank, I just mean translation works. Stuff. Yeah. They're okay. They're fine. They're fine people.
They do fine.
Lintz works. Eventually, you're going to probably get tired of doing the same stuff over and over, but I like the loop of this game, so that's not a problem for me. But if you don't like killing ninjas, you kill other guys as a ninja, you're going to do a lot of that. So just know that going.
But the good thing is, it looks like it's all ninja on ninja action. I mean, it looks like you're taking out other ninjas. You're not like taking out little babies in carriages or nothing.
Yeah, you're not doing any of that. But you do pick up, like, there's a lady that's being held captive or a dude, and you got like, all right.
Oh, you don't kill them, do you?
No.
Save them.
You got to put them over your shoulder and carry them back. So there's that. You got to move.
That's not very ninja-like.
Well, you got to save people, man. You got to. I mean, I had a lady that I was carrying her back, and somebody saw me and went, whatever. And started coming after me. So I threw her in the bushes.
Nice.
And then turned around and had a sword fight with that guy.
Yes.
And then picked her up
again.
That's
ninja.
Yeah. It's very ninja.
That's ninja.
Then I picked her up again.
That's something
that
Snake Eyes would do. That's what I always ask myself. What would Snake Eyes do?
Yeah. Well, he'd make a bad movie that no one saw.
He'd say, because he doesn't talk. And you'd be waiting for Gojo, but it would never happen.
Actually, does he talk in that new movie that's out? I wonder.
I think he does. I think early isn't this like an origin story? So early on, I think he did talk, and then I think it was later on that it became.
Maybe the snake that he got his eyes from talks. Maybe that's what happened.
Yeah, that's it.
Old Snake Eyes there. Anyway, this guy's playing it really fast, and I don't know why. I mean, he must be doing a speed run or something.
Oh, look at that. That is awesome.
It's just a little too fast for my taste, but there's also that teleport thing.
Yeah,
you see that?
Yeah, that's I'm with you. I'm like slow play on my stealth, please.
Yeah. I mean, I guess everybody
it's
can
cool
play.
To watch somebody do it, though.
Yeah, people play however they're going to play, but it's just not my jam.
Right.
What else? Here's my score. Oh, I got some sound. Sorry. I keep forgetting to play the damn sound. Here's some.
That guy
here's
landed in that tree.
There's a lady at the beginning. Now, I should say this is all subtitled. Mm-hmm. I don't.
This is how the first one opened up too, right?
Yeah. And I don't
start
think
with that
it's
whispery,
actual
whispery thing.
I don't think it's actual Japanese. I could be. I don't know. Actually, somebody listen.
You think it's somebody is going?
Well, it's a fantasy game. I don't know that it's in. I don't know that it's purposely Japan. It's hard for me.
I think. Okay, so you don't know if it's actually Japanese or if it's some other.
Yeah, that's
dialect.
What I'm saying. Or any or fake. I don't know. I have no idea. Like right. Klingon sounds real if someone knows how to do it fluently. So you know, could be that. I have
but
no
why
idea.
Would you if you could do it fluently?
That's a good point.
Just to mess with you.
Here's some fighting. Just doing some jumping, some smoothing around. This is me actually. Okay, listen
is
to
it
this
really?
Right here. See? I can't really tell what's going on. That was me putting someone to sleep. Anyway, it's a cool game. I like it. I'm going to give it 8 stabs through the neck out of 10. That's Origami 2.
Nice.
Available now. And if you have Game Pass.
Look, he's about to try to take out Raiden. Sweet.
He's taking it. Those guys with those hats, they don't move is the problem. Those Raiden guys.
Well, they can't. They can't see.
Well, I don't know if that's it. They just never go anywhere. So
that's a ninja nap hat. I've seen those before.
Everyone else moves and like pat, you know, patrols and stuff. Not those guys. They
right.
just stand there.
Not those guys stand there and wait for you.
Yeah, they're dicks. all right, there's my game. Hey, Brian, why don't you tell us about a little game called Potion Craft Alchemist Simulator? What's this game?
Well, I love it. I had no intention of playing this until Scott said he was going to play it. And I was like, what is this? And so I requested a game code from Tiny Build, the publisher off keymeller.co. Mm-hmm. And they were nice enough to send me a game code. And I said, okay, I'm going to see what Scott's playing because I like to do that from time to time. It's a simulator. Scott's been playing all the simulators lately.
Yeah, including this
Scott
one.
Scott quit.
I didn't quit.
I kept playing.
No, I'm not done. I just have questions. Look. I really like what this game's trying to do. I just don't know if I'm doing it right. I'll give you an example.
Okay.
So here, the basics of it are you are in this cool looking fantasy, but also the art style is very like Middle Ages sort of 2D thing.
Yeah. The art style is specifically is derivative of alchemy books from the medieval times.
Yes. So everything about it looks very authentic. A lot of drag and drop mouse kind of stuff going on here.
Yes.
Is this you playing, by the way?
This is me playing. Okay. I'm trying to get that guy to buy my wares.
I love that you
always
put
like,
that in his face and then shook it
I always
around.
Like to present it. I'm like, hey,
yeah,
what you think?
That's buddy? Great. I think that's good. Make him take a whiff before he spends his money. Anyway, so it's part like store simulation thing, part, you know, you're actually
crafting
it. Yeah. And then it's part like... go to sleep and then tomorrow we'll see what new stuff grew out in the garden and then we'll go pick those and then use those as ingredients. The one part where I'm thrown, and this is where I'm really struggling, is this alchemy map business.
You mean the core of the gameplay?
The core of the gameplay. Because
right.
as you can see, this guy, you're such a dork.
This guy is Brian.
Doing stuff. This guy,
don't you like
you.
How I use my, use my mortar business?
Yeah, like some kind of goofball. But anyway.
My pestle and mortar is well-worn.
So what you do is there's a map, an alchemy map that's on the wall back
right.
there. And on the alchemy map, it tells you when you put certain ingredients, when you pick them up, it'll tell you what direction you're going to take on this map. And if you grind up the stuff, how much further you'll go on the map if you grind it. If you don't grind it, you'll go maybe half that distance.
Right.
And there's a lot of curves and twists and turns and whatever. And sometimes you can stop early if you want, add another ingredient that sends you down or up or zigzag or a million different
right.
things depending on what ingredient you have, different mushrooms.
Now, you're not just willy-nilly traveling around on a map. You're actually trying to get to a location, which is to get to an area of get to an effect area that you can apply to your potion.
Right, which will give you a new potion. So you may find a question mark somewhere, and if
right.
you get to it and you finish the potion, it'll say, congratulations, you found the freezing potion or the you know the ice potion or whatever.
Right.
That's great. I like that part okay. You can then keep going. Like if you don't want to finish there, you can say, all right, well, now I know I've got ice. If I keep traveling and I go touch another ingredient or whatever or another thing, I might get a new effect. Like it's not only ice, but
yeah.
it's puts you to sleep or whatever. So it's got all these like different things you can do to your potions, and you can make all kinds of potions.
I think I'm already hearing what you've done wrong.
Here's what I'm... Well, okay, so one final thing. You have room, yes, at least in the beginning, for about 6 or 7 recipes that you can store once you've discovered, correct, them. You can only use those recipes as a quick way to make potions if you have the ingredients for
level
you.
3. Go ahead.
I see what you're doing. And so the... what am I trying to say? So I get all of that. Making the potion. You talk to the guy in the storefront. He says, I need a certain thing. And then you go try to make that shit for him. And then you haggle with him, or you just sell it straight out or whatever. And then he buys it and whatever. Some people, you just plain old don't have the location yet, nor the ingredients to get to said location. So you may as well just skip him and work on him next time. That's fine, but it's the traveling around the map. And just every time hovering over the plant going, well, that one goes up, that one goes down. How about that one? Oh, that goes left. I don't remember which one goes down. And they're all different, and it's all over the place. And I feel like that's really dragging me down.
Oh, okay, it's odd because the thing that you're complaining about is one of the pros I'm going to give this game later on, which is the fact that almost everything is elemental or things that are diametrically opposed. Like there's ice and there's frost effects. You can add to your potion on this map. So the ice, everything ice related is going to be eastward. Yeah. Everything fire related is going to be westward. Everything wind related is going to be north. Everything earth related is going to be south. So
how are you going to know that though without you got to hover over them all the time and know, right?
No, well, actually it's very simple. So let's say the wind bloom, some of the first elements you get while they're trying to still hold your hand a little bit, the wind bloom is called wind bloom. It looks like a plant that's been blown by wind. It is a light blue. Terraria, a plant shaped like grass and green, goes down. Very easy to see. The fire bell, which takes you to the west, is orange. And, in mushrooms, they go south, which makes sense. It's easy to identify visually, and it goes down. There's a water bloom, which is where most stuff goes towards east. It is a watercolor. So visually speaking, already they kind of give you a bunch of visual clues. Just like you can see it. So starting out, you kind of got to really learn what's this game doing? But then after a little bit of time, you start moving really fast. And you can really get stuff done.
Visually. I feel like I don't move fast at all, and that's my problem. Every move is a grind because I have to go, now which plant goes left? Okay, I'll move that now.
Right, like I said.
I think it's
pretty good in the simplicity design. I don't know maybe what's not clicking with you, but it clicked with me right away because I was so excited. I was like, oh, wow, look at this. It makes total sense that these directions on this map go towards logical things. And so I don't even have to really even look. And there's only really, there's 4 plants that you can make your big moves with early on in the game. Early access, by the way. You can, and those 4 plants, as long as you know what those 4 are, I mean, you can make most of your moves right away. And then you can kind of, tweak it a little bit.
Yeah, you can move forever. You just have to avoid those poison bones.
As long as you have the ingredients, which only become available either through purchasing merchants who show up your store, which is one of the things I don't care for, or picking it out of your garden, which replenishes each day after you've gone to bed.
What I wish happened, here's what I wished, okay? This is what I thought I was going to get, and maybe if I hung with it long enough, I'd get there. But what I thought I was going to get was experimentation is a big part of alchemy. I get it. And it, so it early is, yes. on, the experimentation makes sense to me. But once I make a thing, I should be able to have a permanent record. And I do, because there's the book, right? The recipe book. And the recipe book only lets you have so many entries unless you buy more pages, which are extremely expensive. So now, that's
the thing
super
you're complaining about is
those.
Actually a complaint that other people have. So you're totally right in that you're not alone in that idea.
Yeah. What I want to do is go, oh, I've discovered it. Now I can just make it. And so that guy says, yeah, I need a fire one, and I'll just go give him a fire one because I got the damn ingredients. And if I don't, well, I guess I don't.
The problem is with the recipes. Okay, so this is a little bit of resource management as well as experimentation. You can really get hung up, and I did. I took the wrong path for a while because I was trying to explore as much as I could on the map without fulfilling customer needs, and that kind of gave me a little bit of a ding in some places.
Yeah.
And so you're right with the recipes. You start out, I think, with six, and you can buy more pages, but it's very expensive compared to how much you're making selling to customers, at least until later in the game. And yeah,
I wish I had an answer.
What's that?
I'm looking at the screen, and there's no way you make it through those bones. How are you going to make it through those
Absolutely,
bones?
I do. Absolutely. Look at that. I'm a genius. Now you can. Okay, so for those who can't see, on this alchemy map, first of all, it starts with a very small area you can see, and the rest of it's like the fog of war. And so as you explore out on this map by including ingredients into your cauldron and traveling the map, you'll reveal bones and skulls, and you can't go in those areas.
Yeah.
Or your potion will fail and you have to start over. You'll lose all your ingredients, which is a real bummer.
Like that one right there, where you just lost it.
Yeah. But the thing is, I did that on purpose, though. I was trying to show the potion.
No, I'm glad you did, because it illustrates my whole point. And I'm not saying there shouldn't be a fail state. I'm all about games having a challenge or whatever. But after all of those, like, hover over, see which one does what direction. Oh, I think I found the path. And then your thing starts all over, and you're either A, out of the potion or out of the ingredients you just used, or B, don't remember which damn ones you used. You're all the way back to the beginning. Like, I don't know why that's supposed to be fun for me yet. I can't get my head around it.
Right. And it's actually a balancing act because the way I thought, and I probably need to explain it, still, once again, early access. You probably need to explain it just a little bit. This is a very sandboxy game. They don't explain very much at all, but they probably do need to explain that satisfying each customer's needs is probably not going to work out for you. And the reason why you want to satisfy everybody is because you have a popularity rating and a reputation rating that is impacted if you don't give them what they need. So each of us wants to we want to give them everything, right? Every time we're like, here's what you need. Here it is. Sometimes you just got to go, sorry, buddy, I'm not doing it. I got to save that. And that's part of the strategy. They probably should tell you that because it kind of feels like you have to do linear progression, and you don't.
Yeah,
you really don't. Skill points as you go along this map. The more you explore, the more you're rewarded.
Yeah,
because you'll pick up books along the way on alchemy that will give you experience points, and you can spend that in a very limited skill tree that kind of allows you to see more of the map. And I think there's alchemy map visibility radius. There's a alchemy practice, which means you're a little bit better at that trading. Trading is very important because you got to save as much money as you can. You got to buy low, sell high. And then there's haggling. I haven't even gotten into that yet. Did you do any haggling?
I do haggling. Yeah, there's a haggling mini game that, again, I'm not sure that's needed. It's not hard, but it's just kind of annoying. I don't know.
I actually like it because you don't have to haggle. But if you choose to haggle, you can get like a range. So there's two scales. The customer puts their gold pieces on one side and you put your potion on the other side, and it's all even. And that's what they're willing to pay. But if you do the haggle, it'll tell you the lowest price is this and the highest price is this. Do you want to haggle? And then the characters, all their medieval selves, they squat down and look really close at the scales. I think this guy's going to do it right here. Do I haggle him?
No, you didn't haggle him. But yeah, they're looking real close. And if you go too much, they're going to be pissed at you. You lose rep. They'll still take the price.
So yeah, if you haggle all the time, you'll get a little more money, but so everything has a cost. So that
How often do you use that water thing? Because you can adjust your position.
I use it a lot, Scott, actually, believe it or not, because every time you get, so you saw where I did earlier. I failed. The potion failed because I got too close to the bone, the boneyard, and I failed. Now, what I usually do is I'll plan as I go along. The water, which you add back to the cauldron and the potion, it will take you back towards the center of the screen. Mm. So you use that just as much as anything else. So you may travel a certain way, and then you can push your bottle back over to the left,
it's nice to be able to nudge it. Yeah. So if you're too close to the bones, it's a great way to nudge yourself away from them. Yeah.
It's a way to help there. And it also is super important for when you're trying to get level 3 potions or higher. So you'll try to get the bottle lined up, your potion bottle, which is on the map, lined up with the effect bottle. And if you line it up perfectly, you'll get the highest rating and also the highest price when you sell it.
Yeah.
This game has, like I said, I love the game loop. I think it's fantastic. I hate that you're having to hover over each of the elements or each of the ingredients to try to kind of figure it out. I kind of have an idea before I even mouse over them where I'm going to need to go. And then the problem solving, it's kind of like with you and Origami and doing that great stealth kill. I'm like, I don't mind sitting and thinking for a minute. I'm like, okay, I'm gonna think for just a minute here. Let me see. Okay, if I use up, three fire bills, oh, that's not gonna be good. I'm gonna be screwed.
And I guess I wish you could at will start from one of the finished potion zones. And I know you can if you have the ingredients already. Yes. You can start from that point. The problem is you're not really, I mean, you're starting from that point, but you're not going off to find other individual potions. You're going off to add a new effect to the one that you started with at that point, if that makes sense. I don't know if I like that. Ooh, you almost lost your bottle again. I wanted to point out a fun quirk of yours, okay, that I just noticed here, and it's not a bad thing, but I noticed early on in this process, you really like dropping things from a high place. My guess is at home you'll do this with like food and things, like if Brian's in charge.
It gives me such joy.
Yeah, you love like hanging way up here and let it go.
Yeah,
that makes me laugh because the potions weren't landing where they're supposed to. So now I've noticed you're much closer to the scale. But
it's a lot of fun.
I want to love this. Like that's it's kind of bumming me out that I don't yet. And again, maybe some more time memorizing what some of the stuff does. Maybe that's the trick. But the art style alone is so rad. I freaking love it. I love the art style of this game. It's so cool.
I love the simplicity and how complex it is all at the same time. And like I said, just a couple times already, just to remind everybody, this is an early access game. It is currently $14.99 on Steam. And the developers are still working. It's a small team. It's a five person team. It's nice game plays. Publisher Tiny Build, they always put out good stuff. I always like Tiny Build. They always send me game codes. Thank you, Tiny Build.
They're pretty great.
And I think there's a lot of gameplay here for $14.99. With that being said, they got a lot of stuff they're hoping to add and to expand. Like you're probably gonna have more recipe books, I'm sure. There's a basement which you can actually get to in game on that now, where there's some more advanced alchemy equipment. We haven't even talked about getting the plants and things, but we get into a dwarf shows up. He's got gems and stuff that you can crush up, and it's so satisfactory. It's totally different than the sounds and the breaking up of the herbs and things.
Mm-hmm.
It's the attention to detail is insane.
Yeah, I love that part. Everything you've described, I love. It's this. It's the map and navigation of the map. It's the core concept of the game that I'm struggling with.
It, like I said, that's my favorite part. And it's funny because these are all medieval people. You know, we live in a time where everything has to be done quickly. And the first thing I felt when I went out to help people in the shop, I was like, okay, what's this guy need? And he's like, he needs a health potion. Okay, I got to go back. That's really simple. It's very quick. I can go in and make it. And you come back out and you're like, oh God, I hope it went too long.
Yeah.
And then you realize these guys just wait around forever. They don't care. They'll be there. This medieval times. What else they got to do? There's nothing on TV to go catch. Right,
yeah.
They're just gonna hang around, mill around in your little area until you get it done. So once I did that, I was like, I'm good.
Did you get the vagina potion?
I didn't get any vagina potion. Oh, is there a vagina potion?
You need to see the vagina potion.
I haven't seen the vagina potion. I've made some bad potions that are like a mix of different effects, because most of the time you can get to level 3 early on in the game for most straight effects like healing, poison. By the way, poison's a big factor. Everybody's always looking for poison, and you got to determine, do I need to put them on a poison registry?
Because people love the poison.
I think they're going to do something. Yeah. And if they do, your reputation takes a huge plummet.
Yeah.
But that's fine, because popularity is really where it's at. Reputation, you can be this is where the role playing comes into play. You can pretend that you're an evil alchemist and all you sell is evil poison. Who cares if the townsfolk don't like you, as long as your popularity is up there? Weak potion of libido.
Yep, here it is. And so, you are correct. So you're seeing it
they
now.
They labeled it with a vagina.
This is a week called weak potion of libido. It's one I discovered. And
did you really?
And that bottle on there, I'm just
all
saying.
You got was a weak potion?
Yeah. Can you imagine the strong one? I mean, what are you going to even do?
Love that.
Yeah.
By the way, did you pick that icon or did it automatically
pop up? It did it. I didn't do it. was it.
These bottles, when you're bottling your potions, you can name your potions.
Yeah.
They'll automatically name for a lot of them. And you can choose your bottle shape so that you can easily recognize them visually. Yeah. Also the bottle color, or actually the potion color. And the labels shape and all kinds of stuff. This is, like I said, just a huge amount of attention to detail. If you like crafting games, I think you're going to like this one.
Yeah.
Barring that you
It will
don't
depend
like.
Entirely on this map thing for people. I think if you glom onto it, this is one of the coolest games of the year. If you don't, you struggle.
Yeah. I love it. I love the fact that it's all about the game really is all about being more efficient.
Yeah.
In everything you do.
Sure.
Including playing the game and navigating the maps. And it's just all about efficiency, which is great for simulation, right? It's like if you could just keep up in your game a little bit more, then hey, Potion Craft, Alchemist Simulator, you can be a master alchemist. I'm down with it.
Yeah. Here's some sound. It's got this nice, you know, Baroque sort of era thing going on. I mean, it's perfect.
It's spot on.
Like aesthetically, they're not missing anything. All the beats are right.
No. It runs, it loops forever, and it never gets annoying. So that's amazing.
That's true. Here's some sounds of you making stuff. So you can hear you grinding and moving the.
Yes.
I mean, it's got a tactile thing going. It's very.
It cool. really does, and I love throwing the bottles across the room because when you're trying to sell something, so somebody comes in, they don't tell you exactly what they want. They don't come in and go, "I need a healing potion," and you go get the healing potion. They come in and go, they give you this little exposition. It's like, "Oh, my husband was out, he got ran over by his own horse, and you know his foot's hurting now, or he got shot with an arrow." Or I got shot with an arrow. That's happened before too. I got shot with an arrow and I spent all night in pain and now I'm here and I need like a minor potion of healing. I'm like, what? Okay. But yeah, they don't tell you straight out what they need. They don't say they need mana. They suggest that the individual that needs your potion is magical, but are depleted.
Yeah.
And so I like these little small fun things. Well, and right now it seems somewhat random by who's coming in and what they're asking for. And as the game goes further along, the developers are going to really ramp up stuff based on your reputation. So like if you're known for making poison, then you'll start getting more people for poison.
Yeah.
You know, so you'll start specializing a little bit. So I like it. Didn't care. Oh, I'm going to give my pros and cons real quick.
Let me mention one thing. If the game had unlimited basic ingredients, I think I'd feel better.
I think you're right. I don't think unlimited is necessary, but this is one of my pros and cons. It's part of my con.
Oh, go ahead then. Do your thing.
All right.
Yeah.
Pros, no hand-holding. We're doing some sandbox stuff here. We're just do your thing, man. Be as creative as you want to. Fail. It's a lot of fun. If you like freedom of choice, that's a pro. If not, con. You know, if you don't, yeah, just con.
Yeah.
Clarity of ideas. I thought the clarity of ideas were really great until I talked to you. I mean, like I said, yeah. I thought it was obvious that, you know, the Terraria plant, which is green, you know, everything with an earth tone to it is south in its direction. Everything that is red is west in this direction. Everything like, you know, light blue is north, and everything like a, you know, like a teal or a little darker blue is all to the east. So all that stuff felt like it made sense to me. Why so I can
would,
visually
how would you know
it.
All of that though? You didn't like, I've never heard this till I'm talking to you today,
really?
that those colors corresponded with those movements. I would have no idea.
I noticed it pretty early on. I don't know how. And I was just like, oh, cool. I'm like, this looks like it does this. And you know, what's even easier to look at if you look right above the plants. And
yeah.
Stuff,
there's a little there's filter.
There's a diamond, and the diamond shows light blue, like a pure blue to the east. I mean, it's all right there if you look
it
right.
It really
above
is, but it just doesn't. I can't do it in my head.
And you can even. And did you use the filter? Because you can sort those things.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
By those directions.
I did a bunch of that. Sure. Yeah.
Right.
It's,
so
it's,
yeah,
it's such a rad thing. I want it to succeed, and I'll keep at it. I just, you know, I'm just kind of at a weird place with it. That's all.
Con. Early access. Oh, baby, this is still early on, even though there's plenty to play. It's $14.99. It's right on the edge of, is it worth it? Is it worth it? For me, it was.
Yeah.
Scott, I don't think so. But there's a promise of a lot more stuff coming. We'll see. So back to the final con, the thing you just mentioned, essentially being beholden by the arrival of merchants to progress can be very frustrating because you can't fulfill your request because a merchant is like third or fourth in line and you've already used all your crap up that day. And you can't get anything else in the garden until you go to sleep. If you go to sleep, then people go off mad. Matter of fact, you can't even go to sleep. You have to go and you tell them, you just go, no, I ain't got nothing. Get out of here.
Yeah.
Beat it, you bum.
Yeah.
And then you can go to sleep.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think a little bit more abilities for resources. There's also like the base solution. And there's still lots to go. Right now, water is the only base solution in your cauldron that you put in there. There's supposed to be more coming. So we're going to see how that goes too.
Yeah.
I'm going to give this 8.5 mislabeled potions out of 10 dead villagers.
Well, now you got the vagina label. You can put the vagina label on.
I love the vagina. I find that fascinating that you discovered that. That is amazing.
Yeah. It was just a random one I found on my map. But yeah. The other thing is I wish it was easier to tell where I want. Like, I'll look around the map and go, where's ice again? Shit. I know it was here. No. Where was it? And I can't find
it. Right.
Is that located like South Pole? Like, you know, what I mean?
If you're looking for frost, it's water related. And so it's going to be to your east, just like the little symbol shows. It's going to be eastwardly.
See, these are some things that may help me. I'm going to play more and it'll see.
It should help. Right. And have you noticed the very faint lines? Because they give you the direction to where there's the closest effect, even in the cloud. I didn't notice this until somebody pointed out while I was on stream. They said, oh, yeah, Brian, look at those lines. I'm like, what lines? And I'm like, the little lines. It's really, you know, barely see them. I'm like, no, I don't see no stupid lines. And sure enough, there's like these really light lines that run that show you the direction that you need to go in to reveal more effects.
I did not know that either. Okay, well, these are all things that are going to help me.
Potion craft. Alchemist Simulator.
Yep. Another Chorecore game for you to play today. All right. Why not this? If it was that, then why not this?
It's a me, Mario!
Time to play Guess Our Game. We take a couple old games. We try to fool each other. Not fool each other. See if each other knows what that game is based on a couple of hints.
This game is from 2022.
It's not even out yet. No, these are old games. And mine is old. So is yours. We're about 10 years apart, 12 years apart. Mine is in 1982.
That is old. Holy Moses.
It was originally made by Williams. Eventually, Atari also published this, both in arcades and at home, which is a weird crossover because Williams and Atari never really worked together that much. But here is the sound from this clip to see if you can get it. So remember, 82, long time ago. All right. So why can't I find it? Here it is. Nope, that's wrong. Here it is. Nope, here it is.
'82.
You know you've heard this in an arcade.
I'm in the arcade, right?
You're in the arcade. Yep. Pretend you're in the arcade.
The fun game is a lot fun. It's a lot more fun than normal.
There's some fun going on. I love this game. I'll say that.
82, it's very old. Though. There's definitely something falling. Feels like a bubble bobble or something kind of.
Nope.
Vibe.
Nope.
But that's too late, though. So
I'll say this is side-scrolling in a time where none of that really existed. It was very early in that way. And this may be, I'll say this up front, in the history of the show, it's entirely possible I've done this one before, but I couldn't find it or remember it.
What are we, like 305? We've definitely done,
some
games before.
But
I'm sure we've done
it
before.
That's either bad on me for doing it twice or it's bad on you for not knowing it twice. Well, let's find out which it is. But what
so
do you
is side scrolling. It's not like Pong. It's actually moving across the screen.
Yep. Well, the screen, let's put it this way, like, you know how Mario, technically, the screen's not moving. The screen's moving, not him. Yeah. So the camera stays centered on him. This is one of those. Although you do have some control of, let's say, I'll call it your character, even though this will help. It's a hint. It's a vehicle.
It's not a character. It's not like a humanoid character.
No, it's a vehicle. A vehicle, as my dad would say.
But that's the problem. I keep trying to think of things. I was thinking like lunar, moon, lunar. You ride the little, the little lunar buggy. What's it called? Am I getting close?
You're so close. You're right up. You're licking the bowl.
What the crap is it? Is it lunar? Is it lunar?
Trump pole in the chat.
Lunar patrol. Lunar. What's that? Moon? What? Moon Patrol?
Moon Patrol's it. You got it. Moon Patrol. You
Moon
did
Patrol.
It. Nicely done.
Yeah. But I don't remember it being that fun.
Oh, I love that game. Are you kidding? I mean, it's probably
not
now.
But I don't mean it being that jaunty. It's like
especially that opener.
I think I played it on like one of the consoles. I don't think I played it in the arcade.
Yeah, the opener of this thing. Listen. Like, it doesn't really match the whole idea that you're on the moon shooting aliens.
Your little buggy's going.
I love that game. Probably not very good now, but at the time, I thought it was really cool and innovative, and I was super into it. All right, Brian, I'm going to play yours.
Great. I would have never got it, though, if you hadn't given me like a million hints. Go ahead.
94, you say? Sega Genesis?
The year is 1990 of four.
Okay.
And it is a Sega Genesis game. As I told you, I was looking through my Sega Genesis collection on the RetroPie, and I was like, what?
Is this exclusive or just Genesis? Could you get it on the SNES and things?
No, you actually could get it on the SNES as well. Okay. So it wasn't like a Genesis owned. It wasn't like a Sega owned property or nothing like
okay.
that.
Okay, right. All right, let's play this.
Here's the deal.
That was some Genesis ass sound chip. Oh, why is that familiar?
Iguana Entertainment. There's a big giant iguana at the very beginning.
Yeah, they were here. They were a Salt Lake company.
Yeah, they got bought and handled and everything else. Acclaim, didn't Acclaim pick them up? Acclaim. And then somebody picked up Acclaim. And
Acclaim
then,
picked them up. Now they're all gone, but
they're all gone.
They were a thing for a hot minute. This isn't...
This is a tough one. Okay, how about this? How about I tell you this?
Give me a genre.
Okay, how about I give you something better?
Give me whatever.
It's based on an American fantasy animated television series produced by Hanna-Barbera.
Oh.
And when I eventually reveal this to you, you're like, I completely forgot about that property entirely. That's what you're going to say.
So wait, this isn't... but not a... This would be like Looney Tunes era. We're talking like Hanna-Barbera, more what we think
1990, of as... 1990, it was early 90s when the cartoon came out. So it was very right there. You know what I mean? It only lasted like a season or something, I think.
Oh, was it short?
It was a dark fantasy, yeah.
Oh, dark fantasy. I don't know. I have no idea.
Wow, the chat room has no idea either. Okay, all right, look. You got to pull this one up because you're going to need a visual memory of this.
Yeah.
Tim Curry is Conk.
Oh.
Peter Cullen is Mantis. It's the Pirates of Dark Water.
Oh,
Jody Benson
know this.
Is Tula.
No one bought that game, though.
No one cared.
Look at Todd DeGosa getting in the chat room. He knows.
Oh,
Todd
here
did.
It is.
Todd bought it. Todd bought it. He had the iguana six pack with Scooby Doo. Yeah. And the Addams Family.
Yeah. Okay, I remember this vaguely. It was a bad cartoon, though. It wasn't good.
Well, I had a monkey bird in it, so I mean, say what you will.
It did have a monkey bird. Look at him. That's so shitty. All right.
I mean, come on. It was like Thunder the Barbarian for the early 90s. It was a lot of things, but it was interesting. I loved the visual style. And I also kind of wanted to go back to that picture again. Why is she all like, looks like she's holding her pee? What was going on there?
She's holding her pee. You can tell. She's like just holding her pee.
Hold it.
Did the game like do anything? Hold on.
It was side-scrolling, a little bit of platforming and hack and slash.
Trying to find reviews somewhere.
Oh, it actually did pretty good.
Was it okay?
Pretty good.
Yeah.
It was entertaining for a game from 1994. It was a little bit different. It was a little different.
Let's see. Pirates of Dark Water video game review. Here we go. I'm just trying to see if I can get a score aggregate. That's not bad. 7.1 out of 10. These are player scores. It's not bad.
Yeah.
That's okay. Bad. All right. Well, the cartoon was shit. That we can all
agree. I thought it was interesting.
No.
I mean, they were doing something different at the time than everybody else was
weren't.
Doing. I was down with it.
They were copying five other things. It wasn't.
Well, of course they were, but they were doing it alone. Like, there wasn't a lot of other things at that very moment. Everything had kind of fallen out of favor.
All right. I remember it being just bad, but why? I don't know why I remember that. Chat room's agreeing
because
with you.
Because Scott, it was 1994. Yeah. You were probably about to have your first kid.
Yeah, I was.
And the Pirates of Dark Water was probably not on your list of.
Yeah, but you got to understand, I never stopped watching Saturday morning cartoons. Like, I, to this day, I still love that stuff. I love new stuff, old stuff, everything in between. So
right.
It's, you know, whether you're talking way back Super Friends or today, I don't know, watching, they're not that new, but like Billy and Mandy or something, like something more recent. I love it all. And,
yeah.
And I probably sat through this and thought, well, this isn't great.
Yeah, I mean,
Tondra Gosa says that's sad. Always talking to somebody else. Never mind.
Right. He only had one season to get good. And chat room says the writer died before they could finish.
Oh, is that why they didn't finish?
He was working sick.
Oh, that ain't
maybe good. Maybe died suddenly. I don't know. But Iguana Entertainment, I was going down that library list of games they had for a while. And I was like, oh, these were all fun. I like all these games.
Ooh, Monkey Bananas reminds us that Hilda show on Netflix is so good. It's like what a wonderful modern cartoon. It's so good. People should watch Hilda. Stop what you're doing right now, after this show, of course, and watch Hilda. All right, that'll do it for Guess My Game. Brian wins this week. Well done, Brian. Good job.
Oh, you're welcome. I went obscura.
Yeah, you get the complimentary fart. There you go. All right. Let's move on to what? I don't know where I am today. Here we go.
Feedback
time. Emails, you might call them. We got an email here from Jonesy. Email address is boopshow@gmail.com. He says, dear show of boops, I think they should make more games based on the TV shows we grew up with. Speaking of this, Knight Rider, Battlestar Galactica, Manimal, yes. MASH, etc. He says, the minute
if it had been Battlestar Galactica, Manimal, MASH, etc., it would have been like, oh, is he going down the alphabetic list of shows from our childhood?
I know. I'm starting to feel old when I see this list. But Manimal in particular, I saw that and went, oh, Brian loved that show. So
I love that show. It was so – really, I didn't love the show. I love the part where he changed into a Manimal. He turned into a Black Panther, I think it was.
Yeah.
And his hands would start bubbling up and had like really cool effects. I was always into the big, cool, wicked-looking, gross effects.
Yeah, but today, have you seen that recently, that transformation? It's really bad.
I'm sure it is. It's just a bunch of air bladders behind underneath stuff. I mean, it's trash, but 19 whatever it was, I thought it was fantastic.
Here you go, chat. We're gonna show it. So he's gonna be a panther here because he's hanging out with these other tiger types and he wants to
that's
be
what
to
he
compete.
Does the tiger types.
So now his face is getting all bubbly. Look, he's
yes.
Oh yeah, above skin bladders. Oh yeah,
there it goes. Look at that.
Yeah, and then next
we
phase.
Hadn't seen anything on TV like that. That was like, what?
Yep. Tears his clothes off, kind of Hulk style.
Yes.
Yeah. Look at these tigers. They're like, what the frick? That lion's like.
And his eyes are so big. That's just so scary.
Yeah.
That's
and
so
then his
scary.
Face gets weird. Chat room, if you've never had the opportunity to watch a Manimal episode, let me make
at least watch the intro.
Oh, yeah. It's amazing. Look at this thing. Look at this. Look at that.
Look how long that I mean, they really went all in with this transformation. I don't remember it being taken this long. That we're watching the whole freaking transformation.
Yeah, pretty soon he's a panther. Look at the teeth come out.
They don't look away.
No. The eyeball moves up.
I love this stock video of all these big cats, though. That's my favorite part.
It's like a really expensive version of like character creation screens in an RPG today where you're just like working on every little detail. Look at that. They're even doing the whisker animation.
Hondo's not wrong, or Hando in the chat room, based off of American Werewolf in London. You're not wrong. It's probably the same ideas.
Oh yeah. It would have been the same era too.
But to the question, if there was a video game, first of all, I think there's been some Knight Rider video games. I would have to say I would love to see a Little House in the Prairie
what?
Video game.
What would it be
you've already died, dysentery. We've done that.
Yeah. No, you could do it. Like, what's the game called? There's a game called this. Oh, Banished.
Yeah.
Do it like Banished.
Oh, that. Even better.
Yeah. Except
it's already been made.
Yeah, it's probably already been made.
But I would love to see an A-Team video game. I would love to pity the fool and drive around in a big black van. That would be awesome.
By the way, I just found a video that everyone's going to thank me for. It's a supercut of every transformation in Manimal.
Oh, my
God. It's
an
entire video.
How many hours is that?
It's not as long as you'd think. It's only 13 minutes straight.
Wow.
But that's, you know, that's still a lot of transformation.
That is a lot of transformation.
Yeah. I'm going
to
put that.
I mean, Voltron only takes like maybe 30 seconds to transform. So, I mean, that's a long time.
It's great. It's usually other people watching him, like a guy in a truck going, what's going on? You guy's turning into an animal.
Scared. You see that? That guy's turning into a sort of man animal.
Some sort of man animal. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Glenn Larson at his best. All right. It for your question. Oh, no, we didn't answer it. What do we want to say?
I answered. You didn't answer yours.
Shit.
You said something. Open world untouchable game. Untouchables game.
Oh, yeah. I did write that down. I forgot I wrote that down. Yeah. Open world untouchables, like mobster stuff. Give me like, you know, GTA style missions, mob related, all that stuff. Trying to shut all the illegal freaking distribution of alcohol during the prohibition thing. Like all that. Untouchables, man. Oh, that'd be great.
I've been informed. Star Furry says Tiger had an A-Team LCD game. I love Tiger, and now I must eBay it.
No, you don't want that. Why do you want that? You want that? You don't want that. You really want that? You don't want that.
I want that. Why do you want that? I don't know.
Do you really want that? I don't think you want that.
Do I want that? Maybe I want that.
It seems like an incredible waste of money to me, because I always hated those things. I was like freaking, and like the Game and Watch Nintendo stuff,
terrible,
never did it
for me. My god, though. But you got a whole, I gotta send you a link. Oh my god, I want this.
Yeah,
I want it, because oh my god, you wouldn't believe. Open it up. Hold on, let me get this picture real quick. Oh my god, you wouldn't believe the actual console itself, though. Why is this being so difficult?
By the way, did Manimal, could he be any animal? Like, could he be?
I don't think so. I think it was just that. Is this tight, right? I don't know.
Could be a bird.
Oh, I hate Pinterest. I hate you so much, Pinterest.
Oh, he can totally be a bird. So look, he's turning into a bird in this one. He's a straight up bird. Look at this. He's like an eagle.
He's a bird. I think you're right. That's right. That makes more sense. Because otherwise, he'd be like.
It would be limited. Cat. Yeah. He could be any animal he felt like being, and he would take exorbitant amounts of time to turn into that animal. Yeah, look at that. He's a full on bird man. Birdman!
There, in Discord, tell me you don't want that Tiger A-Team now. Just tell me.
Oh, I wouldn't turn it down. I wouldn't turn this down. Look at this, guys. Look at this chat. Look at that, Mr. T. That's the worst Mr. T. That's really bad.
That's the best Mr. T.
I pity the fool who designed that Mr. T. That's what I would say.
Oh, they're totally going to get beat up.
Those games were shit, though.
Well, of course they were. They were just like little LCD lines or whatever, LED lines on.
Yeah, they're just bad. But this is great. This is bad but great. This is my definition of a good thing. So well done finding that. That's going to do it for your emails and for the show. You want to keep sending those emails in, folks, boopshow@gmail.com. And while you're at it, give Brian and Scott a follow on Twitch. You can find Brian at Brian Dunaway. I'm at Frog Pants. And I guess you're going to be playing Kinect Tank next week, so you'll probably have some live stream of that, right?
I'm going to absolutely have some stream of Kinect Tank Thursday, 6 p.m. Eastern time before the car show. Come back and check it out.
Nice. Do that. Mr. T says so. treat your mama right. All right. what else you can...
What's wrong with his lobes?
I don't know. They're wrong. They're all wrong. Anyway, what was I saying? Boop Show on Twitter. That's what I was going to say. That's a way to follow us, find out when we're going live, all that kind of stuff. If you stick around... Oh, are these for today? This West of Dead?
Yeah, these are for today. There are two game codes. By the way, podcast listeners, if you get a chance to watch live sometimes after the show, we give a little bit of love. And we're going to give away two games this week.
Yeah.
Narita Boy, which I played back on episode 284, and West of Dead, which I played back on 252. It's two really good indie games.
Yeah, West of Dead is awesome.
Totally love that game.
Should play that. It's got Ron Perlman in it.
Ooh. It does have just great voice work.
Yeah.
Mixed it.
Anyway, so chat room, stick around. You're going to win some codes here in a minute. Everybody else, come tune in with us next Monday. Monday. 3:30 p.m. is when we do it on the Mountain Time Zone. Frogpants.tv. Mm-hmm. And, of course, the podcast on the site. Just search for Boop on Google. You'll find it. That's going to do it for us. For me, for Brian. No, there's only one Brian. For me and for Brian. This isn't Film Sack. Take care. Have a great week. We'll see you next time. This show is part of the Frog Pants Network.
Frog Pants Network.
Get more shows like this at frogpants.com.
I don't like Steam.
I love Steam.